You're listening to The Bulletin with UBS, first broadcast on the 29th of March 2015 on Monocle 24. Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're considering sustainable investing, asking what it is and why it might be attractive not simply for philanthropic reasons, but also for those looking for healthy returns. And with the release of UBS's Sustainable Investing Report, available now via their website, it's a good time to take a fresh look at this sector. We kick things off by looking at what defines a sustainable investment. Caroline Anstey, Global Head of UBS and Society, starts us off.
I think sustainable investing is really about having sustainable impact and having sustainable returns. And it can be overarching that we're talking about financially sustainable, environmentally, socially, and in terms of good governance. So I think it means a lot of different things to different people, but I think the key is, as we're defining it, we're really talking about performance plus. It's all the things that you associate with investing through UBS in terms of performance, plus it has this impact and this return, which is in terms of a social environmental return.
By their very nature, sustainable investments may offer investors a greater opportunity for real engagement with ventures in line with their own core values. James Purcell is cross-asset strategist at UBS Wealth Management.
For companies, sustainable investing is a way to attract a new investor base. It's also potentially positive for their returns in an economic sense as well. By engaging with their communities and engaging with all the stakeholders beyond just their clients and customers, they can actually achieve a more sustainable growth trajectory.
So is this just another new buzzword? Not so, according to Stephen Friedman, Head of Thematic and Sustainable Investing Strategy, CIO, Wealth Management Americas. He says sustainable investing represents a genuine evolution in our approach to finance.
I think what you're seeing really is that if you think of a company and how it is embedded in society, company has stakeholders all over the place. Their company is involved with its customers, it's involved with its employees, it's involved with civil society, with governments, and with investors. And what you're seeing is really a shift in attitudes across all of these stakeholder groups. And the shift in attitudes is towards an expectation that sustainability considerations should be factored in, should be taken into account by companies. So this is changing the operating environment in which companies operate. And that means that they, in terms of companies, in terms of their behavior, have to take all of these aspects into account. That's really what's changing.
And as Simon Smiles, UBS Chief Investment Officer for Ultra High Net Worth, now explains, sustainable investing goes a lot further than the client's asset allocation plan. The real-world impacts can be truly meaningful.
I guess in terms of impact investing opportunities, you know, we've looked at more mainstream opportunities. In a report we recently wrote about Africa, you know, we looked at a range of listed markets, but actually investing in the areas where African, sub-Saharan African countries have, you know, dire need, things like power generation and water infrastructure, you know, potentially presented both compelling risk return for investors, but also an investment which would lead to a positive social impact.
There was a time when this kind of investment may have been perceived as belonging more with the philanthropic realm of finance. So just where does sustainable investing come in? We turn again to Caroline Anstey.
That's a very good question. I think there is still a role for philanthropy, and there are still going to be philanthropic routes where effectively grant making is the best option. I think the exciting new development on the horizon is this idea that you can get a return, a financial return and a social return. And I think it is relatively new.
So with sustainable investment products becoming increasingly more acceptable as a genuine investment option, are they on their way to becoming mainstream? Simon Smiles gives us his take.
I wouldn't say they're a mainstream option. I think the issue that the impact investing area has had to date is the very narrow definition that's been applied and the focus on the social impact and measurable social or positive impact as the primary driver of the investment, with social returns potentially being a secondary outcome. I think more recently, mainstream organisations such as my own such as BlackRock, such as a number of others, have taken a wider view on impact investing, and so they've looked for investments which made sense from a traditional risk return perspective, but which also had positive social impact and potentially additional philanthropic elements associated with them.
And as Stephen Friedman explains, one problem with the old world mentality was the focus on short-term gain at the expense of a longer vision.
If you look at the financial industry, there is a tendency to focus somewhat on short-term indicators. And we have seen throughout history that sometimes if you ignore longer-term trends, longer-term factors, this can come back to haunt you. If you consider all the sustainability information on the three areas of environmental, social, and governance factors, these are factors that can be material and can't really help determine the value of a company. There is a philosophy that says essentially by incorporating all this information in addition to all the standard financial analysis type of data, you're actually expanding the useful data that you're considering, and you may be getting somewhat ahead of the curve relative to conventional approaches. So the jury's still out as to whether that will pan out over time, but it's certainly one motivation that is drawing some of, I would say, the more sophisticated investors to the field of sustainable investing.
Another aspect of the old way of thinking is that strong investment returns have no place in the environmental or social sectors. That's an incorrect assumption, says James Purcell.
That is exactly what impact investing attempts to change. It attempts to ensure that any investment that has a social consequence is also profitable in its own right by bringing the rigors of capitalism to the social process, you are able to achieve both objectives.
While the method may not be new, the concept has certainly found its niche in recent years. So what's pushing this new popularity? According to Caroline Anstey, it's come down to generational change.
You know, I think if one stands back a little bit, it's clear that there's a whole new generation of people who are coming up, the millennials. We know that $31 trillion is going to pass down to the millennials who really want to invest alongside their values. They want to work for companies that espouse their values. And I think they are looking at how they can have both a win-win performance and a return. And they're looking specifically in areas like climate change, low carbon growth, low carbon infrastructure, gender, health, education. And 5 years ago, I think it was very difficult to say, okay, we can come up with investments in those areas where you will not have a trade-off with performance. Today, I think that's no longer the case. There are a lot of good investments out there where you can have the performance plus. You can ensure that you are going to get the return and you are going to be able to be making an impact.
In a word, then, it's really the millennial generation that's pushing this. Stephen Friedman agrees.
You mentioned the millennials. The millennial generation is clearly an important group within all these stakeholder groups. It's not the case that the millennials are necessarily the group that has all the assets right now. That's certainly not the case. But the influence is happening in the consumer area. It's happening among employees. It's happening in civil society. And all that is ultimately creating a situation where businesses cannot ignore sustainability anymore, and they have to incorporate that into how they do business.
And according to James Purcell, part of that generational change is the exposure to new technologies and methods of communication that the millennials bring with them.
It's a generational shift fueled mainly by connectivity and interest in social media. The millennials tend to have a greater awareness of the world around them. You know, we find here at UBS they're increasingly willing to go beyond preserving and growing their wealth and want to make, you know, meaningful contributions to society as well. We tend to see more startup and companies with shorter track records really engaging in impact, though that does vary depending upon sector and geography. But it definitely does have a bias to innovation and therefore youth in terms of company age.
One thing that might be attracting new investors to sustainable products could be the range of socially responsible causes to which money now flows. Simon Smiles gives us his insight.
A second area which has come on the radar recently is the potential for impact for investments in the health area, which also have a positive social impact and potentially even have traditional impact investing elements. So in areas like oncology or cancer, cures Alzheimer's and diabetes. I guess the final area which has come up in meetings more recently is the potential to look at innovative financial structures to address market failures in the provision of aid and relief, and specifically looking at developing countries' need for protection against natural disasters, famine, etc., and potentially pooling that across a wide range of risks in a catastrophe bond or reinsurance type structure, along the lines of what the World Bank has done more recently on a smaller scale.
And according to Caroline Anstey, it's important to know what you want from any investment, not least a sustainable product.
We can look at the range of instruments out there, from vaccine bonds to green bonds to impact investing in judicial reform, in education, development impact bonds that UBS is now undertaking in India. All these are relatively new. And I think what we're seeing is a transition, if you like, from a focus on philanthropy to now a focus on investment. And I think it's incredibly exciting. I come from, my background is development banking, from, if you like, the public sector world around development. There isn't enough money in the public sector to meet a lot of the challenges around low carbon growth, sustainable cities. But what you're seeing now is that private finance can come in and fill some of those gaps. And it doesn't have to rely on people's charitable impulse. It can actually build on their investment impulse and their desire for performance. And you can have both.
As Caroline continues, there are plenty of myths surrounding perceptions of sustainability that really ought to be busted.
I think that you have to decide what your focus is. I mean, for some people, sustainability may be about sustainable investment, may be about exclusion. For some, it may be about impact investing, where you're really looking at what is the impact on the ground, the social or environmental impact. I think it's very important to decide what you want. And the idea that UBS is to offer a menu of approaches which will have a degree of different tilts depending on how far you want to tilt towards sustainability. I think the old myth that it can only be done in parts in certain asset classes is now over. I think it is possible to have a diversified portfolio across asset classes.
But equally, as James Purcell warns, it's important to view sustainable investing within its broader context.
Sustainability and impact investing should not be viewed as an asset class. Instead, it's a methodology that can be applied to all assets. Therefore, we would recommend a range of potential metrics, from positive screening to exclusionary techniques to explicit impact-related investments.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll look at some of the complexities behind selecting sustainable investment products. When taking a closer look at some sustainable investment products, without some assistance, it can become difficult to separate the product from the cause. Stephen Friedman takes up the story.
I think where it gets a little bit complicated is really, where do you draw the line? You have to distinguish between direct involvement or maybe indirect involvement. And there is a point where, if you're taking things too strictly, if the indirect exposure to a particular activity starts counting, then you may end up having to exclude excessive portions of the portfolio, in which case you may start to have some diversification disadvantages by doing that. But your typical exclusionary approaches don't usually remove fractions of the portfolio that are so considerable that you would get into that zone.
And as Simon Smiles now explains, proper analysis of the products at hand can make for some rewarding returns.
I think in all of the cases I mentioned, there are investments which have a compelling risk return. Power infrastructure and water in Africa, I mean, not only is there dire need, but there is the ability, you know, with capital deployed, to generate, you know, significant, in many cases, significant returns on that capital. Within the healthcare space, I mean, cancer and oncology, you know, it's an area where we have hit an inflection point. Cancers can now be cured rather than just treated. It's potentially also highly lucrative to invest in those cancer drugs and benefit, you know, should they prove successful, and again, in this case, cured cancers. At the same time, the wider space is in need of support with respect to academic research. There's very little academic research grants being given out in the US. It's fallen dramatically over the last decade. And in addition to that, the grants which are going to younger scientists who traditionally have come up with breakthroughs have fallen, you know, even more precipitously.
A generational change spawned by millennials that's proving both rewarding for investors and making a real sustainable difference. Most companies have had their eyes on the notion of corporate social responsibility for some time now. Are we seeing a marriage between those philosophical values and real-world finances? Here with a closing thought is Caroline Anstey.
I think for companies, it's attractive because of two reasons. I think one, it's clearly a direction of travel for clients in terms of reputational risk, and I would say in terms of regulation and legislation. If you look now, more and more countries are saying there needs to be a certain percentage of company investments that go to socially responsible investment or sustainable investment. Pension funds are now looking at that. So this is certainly the way the world is going. I think for investors, our research suggests that on average, the performance is going to be the same. In many cases, it depends on your baseline. The performance may be better. I think there are some very high performing sustainable investments out there in renewable energy, solar energy, and others. And they're now much more available. So why do it? I think you do it for a variety of reasons. You do it because it's going to give you returns, either reputational returns, psychic returns, financial returns. I think there are a whole myriad of reasons. But it was interesting, a poll was taken a few years ago of CEOs, and 75% said they saw sustainability of their own business practices and of investments as very much becoming the norm. And I think what you're seeing at UBS and others is now a focus on, let's take what used to traditionally be called corporate social responsibility out of the niche and run it right through the business, including in terms of the business opportunities and investments we offer our clients.
And that brings us to the end of this 25th edition of the Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance, every week here on Monocle 24. To learn more about sustainable investing, head to the UBS website where you can download their latest report. Listen to this show again at monocle.com or catch up via iTunes or SoundCloud. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.